unto the Lord and to give praises unto the name of the Most High. Let's rise this morning. Welcome to the month of May. Open your mouth and say something beautiful to the Lord. Say thank you, Jesus, for your mercies. Say thank you for your kindness. Say thank you for being an amazing God. Hallelujah.
Run! sing it a little bit more. Be magnified. Be magnified in our lives. Be magnified, O Lord. We cannot make you greater. You're already great. But we want yourself to be magnified in our lives. Let Jesus be real in our lives and the lives of our families. Father, we bless your holy name. Thank you for another wonderful day that you have given to us, a day to rejoice and be glad in it, a day of strength, a day of power, a day of healing, a day of deliverance, a day of wholeness. Father, be magnified in every area. Take honor, take glory, take adoration, take all the praise, take all the thanksgiving. We bless your holy name. Father, have your way in this service this morning. Commit our lives, our families, all our children, biological, spiritual, partners, extended families, their spouses, children standing in this altar, those hearing the sound of my voice, every child from age 120 plus to zero form, we give them to you, O God. Those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life, Father, be magnified, be glorified, be exalted. Let testimonies continue to be our God is good. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing, deliverance, wholeness, and strength. Thank you that our children will continue to excel. Those in school, those in career age, those in college age, university age, those already working, and those who have retired, and those who are refired, in the mighty name of Jesus, every decade of life, strength to strength, glory to glory, favor to favor, goodness to goodness, testimonies upon testimonies. Father, we give you praise, for you are an excellent God, and your excellent spirit is upon our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will continue to testify that God, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. If you believe this, say amen. 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 Well, bless you, children. We'll see you later. Spirit of the living God, we invite you to come into our midst. You are here already, but we welcome you. The door is open for you to come in. Have your way in the service this morning. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. Let it flow into our lives, into the service, into our homes, our city, our nation, our neighborhood, and the atmosphere of our land. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. This morning, we're going to read a scripture, and then I'm going to get you to use that scripture to pray for yourself and for your household. I'll probably read it, and then I'll ask you, make sure you use it to pray when you get home. Hallelujah. Because our time in the service in the morning is very limited, so we try to shorten things. But you have time at your own personal time. Go to Numbers. This is easy for you to remember. Just remember Numbers 23:23. So 23:23. Somebody say 23:23. Numbers 23:23. You can read the whole chapter on your own. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob, and of Israel, what had God wrought? You can read the whole thing at your own. 24 say, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink of the blood of the slain. This is when Israel Balak told Balaam to go and do what? Curse Israel. So any curse that is sent against you and your family will never work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me read verse 20. Say, behold, I have received a commandment to bless, and he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. If God put his blessing on your life, no demon can change it. No human can change it. No power can change it. You are blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Me and my house, we are blessed. The blessing of God can never be erased. Once that oil of blessing touch you, it is permanent. Somebody say, I have permanent blessing. Say, I have permanent blessing. You're already declaring that for yourself. So say, I have permanent blessing. No prophet can change it. No power can change it. No devil can change it. The blessing of God cannot be reversed. I cannot reverse it. It's irreversible blessing. Somebody say, I have irreversible blessing. Stand on your feet and say, I have irreversible blessing. I have irreversible blessing. Me and my household, I have irreversible blessing. My children have irreversible blessing. My spouse have irreversible blessing. My family members have irreversible blessing. So somebody say, I cannot be cursed. I cannot be cursed. Every curse of the enemy goes back to his camp. Return to sender. Somebody say, return to sender. Every curse, every enchantment, every divination, every witchcraft spirit, every power of darkness, every evil words spoken against me and my household and ministry and church and business, return to sender. Return to sender. We cannot be cursed. We cannot be cursed. We have irreversible blessing. We have irreversible blessing. Lay your right hand on your forehead and say, I have irreversible blessing. Irreversible blessing. They are walking and they are speaking for me now. They are speaking for me now. They are speaking for me now. For every curse the enemy is speaking, the blessing is speaking. The voice of the blessing is greater than that of the curse. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am blessed and highly favored. I am blessed. I am blessed and highly favored. Blessing is healing. Blessing is prosperity. Blessing is peace. Blessing is joy. Blessing is everything good and holy and pure from the living God. I have irreversible blessing, and they are working for me now. In the name of Jesus, all enchantments, all curses, all divination, they are destroyed. The blessing override it. The blessing override it. It's impossible to penetrate because I am a blessing. I am a blessed fortress. I am a blessed fortress. The name of the Lord is a fortress, and they who run into it, they are saved. I am in a blessed fortress. In the name of Jesus, me and my household, glory and peace, you are a blessed fortress. Now say your first and your last name. Maria Efezino, you are a blessed fortress. Now say, Maria Efezino and your family, you are blessed. Call your own name, you are a blessed fortress. In the name of Jesus, say big amen. Say amen. You better be shouting a big amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. So leave this place today. Know you can only walk in the blessing. Every other thing does not work. You are in the blessing fortress. You do business from there. You go to work from there. You sleep from there. You eat from there. You worship from that particular place. Is the place of peace, the place of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am in the glory. I am in the glory. I am in the glory. Say it like you mean it. I am in the glory. I'm basking in it. Hallelujah. 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 I rise in this place and I move in this place. Hallelujah. If you believe, that's another big amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you for victory for your people. All your people are victorious, strengthened by your hand, filled with your Holy Ghost. Lord, good news is coming. Good news from all directions, from the north, east, west, and south, and even central locations. We welcome good news. We welcome good news into our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we welcome miracles, blessings, the goodness of God, the favor of God, the Holy Spirit rising within us and speaking his words, and we having hearing ears and understanding heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, eyes to see, blindness removed, deafness removed, wax and stony heart removed. We have a pliable heart where the word of God fall in and grow and bring forth fruit, a hundredfold return. In the name of Jesus, every well that has been sealed, by the enemy, we unplug all of them in the name of Jesus. We say, flow, flow, flow. Let the river of God flow. Let his water flow. Let the thirsty drink. And let the hunger be filled in the name of Jesus. Father, move in the service this morning. You're already setting the captives free. Diseases and sickness are leaving people's body. Strength is being restored. Families are being restored. Marriages are being healed. Homes are being restored. Joy and laughter are being restored. Your oil is being poured on your people. Oil of gladness. In the name of Jesus, sackcloth and ashes are being washed off. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God. As spring is here, many good things will begin to spring forth. Spring forth living waters. Spring forth freshness, fruitfulness, and victory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls. And prosperity to her palaces, strength and glory be clothed upon her again in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. Continue to remember your covenant and remember your people. Comfort your people and strengthen them and give them a new song, a new dance, and a new joy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, let your name be glorified. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So let the nations of Israel be blessed. Canada be blessed. Nigeria be blessed. United States of America be blessed. Argentina be blessed. Paraguay be blessed. Uruguay be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Touch your people, Lord. Islands of the seas be blessed. Touch them, O God. Save your people. All first nations of the earth, remember them. Father, let revival reign. Lord, it reign, O God. Remember this generation. Do not pass us by. Flow again. Let authentic glory fall in the church. Fall upon your people. Let authentic fire of the Holy Ghost fall on your people. In the name of Jesus, remember us, O God. Remember us, O God. Let your fire fall. Let your glory fall. Let your word be sown. Let the word of God not be scarce. Let the river of the word flow. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch Apostle as he ministers to the nations. And me too, touch in the name of Jesus. Father, let your name be glorified. Pour your fresh fire, fresh word, fresh anointing. Glory, glory flow. Deliverance, wholeness, healing, restoration, and growth in the name of Jesus. Transform nations, transform your people, transform your son, and transform everyone who hear the word of the Lord. Father, let your word come with power this morning, with grace and with favor, with mercy and truth, with healing, deliverance, and wholeness, with testimonies, O God, promotions, in the mighty name of Jesus. Do the impossible and make them possible. Favor, favor, favor. Somebody say, I receive divine favor. Divine favor with God and with man. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the speaker, the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who need healing, let them be free. All healing, healing of finances, of health, of issues, relationships, and our city and our nation. Heal our nation. The cities now are having so many issues. Deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus, and restore your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Apostle.
Says you've enriched the earth that you're visiting with your river. Says the river of God is full of water. In essence, it's saying it is overflowing past its bank. I am doing something that is beyond what your limits, natural limits are. I am going to overflow, but you've got to expect it and look for it. There's so many things that God is doing that we don't connect with, because we're not looking for it, and God is calling us to the place of expectation.
All right, there we are. God is good. Hallelujah. One of the first things I heard from my spiritual father many years ago was a very simple statement, but profound. The statement was, all truth is parallel. Never heard that word before. All truth is parallel. And he likened it to the fact that the things of the kingdom of God are very similar to the things that happen in the natural. And that particular truth led him to build an army for the Lord. It used to be that the West sent missionaries into the rest of the world. So you had British missionaries, American missionaries coming to Africa and different parts. But at the same time, that particular general time that he was ministering the word, he was hearing as he went, the nationals saying to the foreigners, go home. He was sending them, get out of here. And he felt quickened in his spirit to recognize, you know what? The same thing is going to happen to missionaries. Go home. But how is this gospel going to be preached? It's got to be preached through the indigens, the nationals. So he changed strategy and began to build up nationals, investing in them. His ministry in the U.S. wasn't that humongous, but the rest of the world, most nationals great ministries, whether it be in Asia or in Africa, they will say, this man impacted my life. I have this great ministry, but it happened because of Maurice Cerullo. I start there today to go to a very fundamental truth. Today we're going to go very elementary. The Word of God says in the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter and the 26th verse, God says something very remarkable. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. As Mama was praying, she prayed about the heart. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, we know that if it says a new heart, also will I give you, that there was a heart. And that heart most likely had been hardened. In the natural, somebody had to die for you to get a new heart. Will you agree with that? Well, in the realm of the spirit, somebody had to die so that I could have a new heart. Somebody has to die for you to get a new heart. A man died so that somebody had a heart transplant. Jesus died so that I can have a heart transplant. Now it says, and a new spirit will I put within you. But let's leave that alone for a moment. Let's talk about the heart. If the heart is taken out and a new heart is put in, even if it were a match, there is a struggle for the body to accept the new heart. Yes? When you get born again and the heart of God is put inside of you, your flesh fights against it. You struggle. Now, for the person who has a natural heart given to him, they have to get some medication so that their system does not reject the heart. Yes? Well, on this other side, you've got to take in the Word of God, worship and adoration, assimilation of who God is, so that you do not reject His heart. Are we together so far? And the point simply is this. It is a battle to mortify the deeds of the flesh so that you can accept the heart, the new heart that God has given. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go a little bit further. This new heart that you have received is the heart of God. This new heart that you have received has the memory of God in it. And when it beats, it is beaten purposefully to cause you to live. Because without their heart, you die. Are we together so far? So I have the heart of God. It is beating in here so that I can live. When you reject the heart that is being given to you, whole as it might be, you will end up dying. Anyone who has received Jesus Christ and keeps on resisting the word of God, resisting the will of God, resisting the directives of God, dies. I don't care whether you're sitting down in church. You have to accept the life of God. Now, not only did God give you a heart, a new heart, He gave you the blood. Some say the blood.
The blood.
Okay. He drained you of your old, decaying, messed up blood and gave you His blood. Do you see that? The Word of God says, life is in the blood. And if you receive the life of God, then you receive the blood of God. That means then that your DNA has to change. Now the battle then is whether I want to accept the DNA of God, the ways of God, the systems of God, or I want to cleave to what I used to know. The challenge is a real one. And the ease of your Christian walk is dependent on you surrendering and accepting this new heart. That's it. If you accept the new heart, then the new heart does all the work. And you don't have to struggle. But if you choose the heart of the world, that corrupt heart, and you want to attach yourself and remind yourself of that, and you keep on resisting the word of God, which causes you to be subject to God, then you're going to struggle in your walk. As simple as that. The walk in Christ is either easy or difficult based on your surrender. Let me say that again. Your walk, your victory in Christ is either difficult or easy based on your surrender. I'll say it a third time. Your walk, hard or easy, is dependent on your surrender. Your surrender to God or your surrender to the world. Hello? Jesus says, take my yoke, for it is what? Easy and it is light. He says, the word of God says, it is the way of the wicked that is hard. The Christian life is an easy life to live if you're willing to surrender to the new heart and accept the new DNA. But it will always be hard if you are resisting the kingdom of God, the word of God, the purposes of God, and thinking with your corrupted mind that you are going to do it your way, like you're Frank Sinatra or something. How is it going to play out? He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to put a new spirit within you. A new spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. So when God says to you, I'm going to put my spirit within you, he's telling you that he's going to put his word inside of you. Now we know that that's how he started it the first time. Psalm 33 tells us that. That God breathed and created everything by the word. But we also know in Genesis it says that God breathed into man and man became a living soul. So when you got saved, God breathed into you his word. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came after his resurrection to where the disciples were, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Spirit of God. Now, whether they accepted what God said and continued in it, it's a totally different matter. The word of God says in John 8, talks about the very fact that there were certain people that believed in him. And he said to them, these same people, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. True? That's what happened. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 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 If you continue in my word, you're going to know truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the point? The point is that while it is instant, it is also continuous. The word of God sets you free from the very moment you accept the word. But you have to continue with that word that sets you free, and that word that sets you free makes you free. Hallelujah. Are we together? I said we're going to go very elementary this morning. We're going foundational. And I want to be certain that you get it. That you have a heart transplant. And that everything about your natural body wants to reject that transplant. And that God has made it possible for you to have the necessary meds, the medication that you need, to not reject that heart. And that medication is the word of God. But that medication is also you rejoicing in God. So where are you coming from? The word of God says laughter is what? It's good medicine. That means you need to start laughing at the enemy when he's trying to make you mess up.
Too late. You're too late. I have a new heart. I have accepted that heart, and you are toast. I'm your worst enemy, devil. I'm the worst enemy, because today that you try to mess me up, I'm going to mess you up. And you start laughing. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says in Psalm 2 that God, who is seated on his throne, will laugh at the enemy. Yeah? Is that what the Word of God says? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, in total confusion. Glory be to God. You are not going under. You are riding above. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I don't care what the devil thinks he's doing, trying to mess you up, trying to keep you limited in bondage, tied down to iniquities. You are not whatever the enemy says he thinks you are. You are what God says you are. Glory be to God. Word of God says, humble yourself in the sight of God, then resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. That line of iniquity will flee from you. Praise the Lord. Why we are here in church today? And I know there are many reasons why we are here. You know, if we ask everyone here why you're here in church today, we'll have all kinds of answers. And they will all be valid answers. But the primary, first and foremost reason why you are today a believer is because you want to live right. Will you accept that? It's not just about, I want to go to heaven. Well, why do you want to go to heaven? And how are you going to get there? I have to be righteous. Well, God is telling us how that happens. So I'm going to give you a new heart because your old heart is messed up. So I'm going to give you a new heart. Now, don't you reject it. Your old heart is hardened. It's always resisting God. The new heart resists the devil. Still resistance, but it's resistance in the right direction. You're not called to resist God. God's word says this. Well, I know what God's word says, but. No, there's no buts. Hello? When you acknowledge what the Word of God says, you continue. You don't say, well, just like God promised, you know, the land is just like He promised. It's a land of, you know, of milk and honey, but it chows down on its inhabitants. And we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so that's how they saw us. We don't there are no extras. Don't add to the Word of God. God's word says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's all you are allowed to say. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Flip, you fell flat on your face. You get back up. You say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God. And before you know it, you are living out what the Word of God says. Because you continued in His Word. You did not reject the Word of God. You did not reject it. You accepted it, you embraced it, and you declared that that which God said about you is the truth. Not what you're looking at in the natural, but what God said. That's how you don't reject in your heart. Because anything that is transplanted into you, your body wants to reject. Don't reject the heart God has given to you. That's the simple point. Don't reject
God's heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, God has not given to us the spirit of fear. God had not given us the spirit of fear. So if he says, I'm going to give you a new spirit, we know what he has not given to us. He's not given to us the spirit of fear. But what kind of spirit has he given to us? The spirit of power. The spirit of love. The spirit of a sound, mature, disciplined mind. What kind of mind is this? The mind of Christ. Hallelujah. What is the mind of Christ? Well, let this mind be in you as it was in Christ. What did he do? He humbled himself. Philippians 2 tells us, right? He humbled himself. He subjected himself to the will of God so that you and I can be saved. He sacrificed so that others can come to salvation. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is that mindset that is not self-centered and selfish. It's a mindset that says, what can I do to bring life to another? When we have the mind of Christ, we are looking out for the well-being of others. And when I'm looking out for your well-being and you're looking out for my well-being, we are fully protected. I saw a very interesting clip yesterday of a leopard that was attacking a wildebeest or something. But there were two of these beasts. And when one saw that its brother or sister or whatever was being attacked by the leopard, he comes into the fight. And he goes after the leopard, and the leopard goes after him, and that one that was being attacked goes after, but the leopard will not give up, and they will not give up either. And the battle was on. These two that could not match up individually with the leopard ganged up on that leopard and went after it. And as tenacious as that leopard was, they did not give up. The leopard, after being poked here and there, decides, this is too much for me, and takes off. Sped off, running for its dear life. Well, when we watch out for each other, and we do not allow a brother to go down, the devil has to take off. We've got to watch out for each other. Because the reality is, when you are by yourself, the enemy is well able to lie to you. But if you've got somebody else that's standing alongside, representing the presence of God in your life, you are strengthened.
in life. If you want to go fast, you go by yourself. But if you want to go further, go with somebody. Please hear that. Yes, you have your own individual spiritual walk. And you don't have to bother with this person's problem and that person's problem. And you go fast. But the reality of life is this. Get somebody with you. Because there comes a time that you're going to need somebody to help you get further. Somebody listening. And the devil's lying tongue wants to make you think, I'm better off without this person, without that person, without that person. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because where unity is, all kinds of things are achievable. Even God acknowledged that. Did he not? That's why we assemble ourselves together. Sure, I can read my Bible by myself, and sure, I can pray by myself, and sure, I can all kinds of things by myself. And there's a place for that. There is a place for that. But let it be because you want to be strengthened so that you can strengthen your brother. Are we together? You are not called to be a lone ranger. You're called to be part of a team. That's why the Bible tells us that we are the body. We're the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we must do everything as the body, not to reject the heart. Because God didn't just give you a heart, a new heart. He gave us all a new heart. Somebody listening? And rejecting that heart is you and I not following through with what the Word of God says. And so what does it mean then for us to walk together in unity? It is for you and I watching out for each other to make certain that every one of us are following what the Word of God says. So the question that I must ask myself, that you must ask yourself at all times is this. This thing that we're about to do, what does the Word of God say about it? Wait a minute. What do you mean, what does the Word of God say about it? This is how you guys are becoming so religious and so hyper-spiritual. Yeah, hyper-spiritual, whatever. What does the Word of God say? Because whatever the Word of God says, that's what we are going to do together in agreement. Hello? It's not what I think. What does the Word of God say? Have we sought the face of God to hear what the Lord is saying from His Word? Or are you pursuing your own agenda based on what you see in the natural? God gives us a heart. And it behooves us not to reject that heart. He gave us His precious blood. And it behooves us to make sure that that blood is pumped into every tissue, because the part of the body that's not having the flow of that blood, that life, dies. Will we accept that? Okay. You got a heart. You got a heart. It's pumping.
But if the blood does not touch particular tissues, those tissues die. Why do those tissues die? The blood did not flow there. Why did the blood not flow there? Because the vessels, the veins, the arteries, the whatever is hardened. Yes? Okay. What does that mean to you? Mean to me? It means that the smallest parts of us have to have the blood flow to it. That nobody is left out and said, they don't matter. What matters is what's happening up here. It's not what's happening with the person who's cleaning. It's not what's happening with the person who's at the door, opening the door. It's not what's happening with the person who's at the parking lot, making sure that vehicles are properly parked. It's not what's happening with the person who's busy cleaning the washroom. Everybody's important, and everybody needs to be looked straight in the eye and say, how are things going with you? Because I need the blood to flow to you. Because if the blood doesn't flow to you, you're going to start dying. And before you know it, I'm losing a limb. My toe is gone. The whole leg is gone. Healing is not taking place. Restoration is not taking place. The necessary changes are not taking place because we've not allowed the blood to flow all the way through. This heart is powerful, but it will not go where it is not wanted. We're hearing that? It's not going to go where it's not wanted. That's why it says, I'm at the heart, the door of your heart knocking. If you open, I will come in and I will sup with you. And it's not talking to some unbeliever somewhere. It's talking to believers. So my question to you today is this. Are you shutting God out in your thinking? Because that's where our first resistance is, in the way we think. Or are you allowing the mind of Christ and saying, yes, sir, whatever it is you want, that I will do. And when you're facing challenges and the devil wants you to speak negative stuff, you say, no, that's not what we're doing. I'm going to say what the Lord says about this matter. The devil says, you're weak. And you say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. No. You know you're weak. No, I say I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah, so you're strong in the power of his might. That's why you're crawling on the ground, you know, trying to get assistance to get up. Yeah, I am strong in the Lord. Strong enough to crawl. Strong enough to stand. And this day you will see me running. You speak the language of God. Your banknote says minus 2,000. And you don't know where you're going to get whatever to solve that problem. You say, I'm rich. Here is another opportunity for God to manifest his glory. God, my God, he owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. He's God. He laid the foundations of this world and the seas. He's a God who knows no impossibility. He thrives where things look so difficult. He's my God. He's my God. And this is another setup for another miracle. I have a testimony in the making. Glory be to God. The new heart, the new mind, the new spirit gives you the impetus to declare declarations that seem contradictory to what is happening in your circumstance. Because God is not a circumstantial God. Amen? Circumstances come. Problems come. But the Word of God says He's a present help. He's not an absent help. I'm behind you. I'm behind you. It's okay. It's okay. Where is he? Where is he? He's gone. He's gone. Bye bye. That's not God. He said, "You're in the trouble. We are in it together, and we're coming out together." Hallelujah. And guess what? When he died, he did not even leave us. He took us with him. When he died, he took us with him. He said, "I'm dying, you're dying too. We're in this together. We're in covenant." And when he rose again, he said, "Come on, let's go." When he defeated the forces of darkness in hell, I was there with him. When he smacked them, I smacked too. When he kicked them, I kicked too. Hallelujah. When he came out, I came out too. When he grabbed those keys, my hands were there too. We were together. Is that not what the Word of God says? Oh, yeah. God says, we're together. We hooked up together. I'm not leaving you. And you're not leaving me. We're together. God is fighting on your behalf to make certain that you live the God life. Amen? He's making certain that you live the God life and that you are not limited and defined by circumstances. Hallelujah. He's not giving you the spirit of fear. Praise the Lord. David blew it royally, messed up, and he's crying out to God, crying out for help. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 51 about this cry that he had before the Lord. In verse 7, it tells us about being cleansed. It says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Wash me. The prophet Nathan had presented himself to him, gave him a parable and about this guy who had a visitor come, and he had a big flock of animals, but his neighbor had only one. And instead of killing his, he went and took that neighbor's single sheep and slew it and gave it to his guest. And when David heard that, he flipped. He says, "Who is that person that would do such a wicked thing? Who is that? I'm going to go now and kill that guy." And Prophet Nathan says, "Thou art the one." "It's you." "Huh? What do you mean it's me?" "Well, you've got all these women here, and you left that,
and you went after Uriah's wife. You went past that and you killed Uriah, set him up. You're the one. Oh my. He first started talking about how he was born and shaping in iniquity and in sin and all of this whatever. And many times that's what we do. We come up with reasons and excuses for why we messed up. I was born this way. I think that's a song that somebody sang. I was created like this. But he changed from talking about how he was born and shaping in iniquity. And he just cried out, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." And then verse 9 says, "Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." This spirit of desiring what does not belong to me, pushing and shoving just to make myself more important. Take this from me. He's already king. He's already at the top. But he was still dissatisfied. And many times that's where we blow it. Not satisfied with what God has given to us. Looking out. If I only had that man, I would be happy. If I only had that woman, I would be happy. Really? If I had more money, if I had that nice car, if I had this, if I had that, that is the wrong spirit. Because the right spirit finds out and finalizes that God is enough. God is enough. Please have that settled. God is not just enough, he's more than enough. Because if you don't have that settled, your eyes will be waving and roving all over the place trying to get something. And that will cause you to reject the heart of God. It will cause you to reject the heart of God. It will cause you not to be subject to the word of God. Because you're always thinking, if I had this, if I had that, if I had this, if I have that, if this, if that, if this, if that. That doesn't solve anything. Things are temporary. Darkness cannot resist light. It cannot contain it. But I tell you what contains light. You want to know? Matter. Matter. Matter contains light. And if matters matter to you, your light will be contained. Do you understand?
You capish? Huh?
When you start worrying about the matter, your worries will contain and limit the word of God. And your matter is primarily in your tradition. The word of God says the traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. The word of God is always effective. But traditions based on your mind limit what God can do in you, for you, through you, by you. So what are we going to do? Because that matter that causes matter to matter to you is the matter that is causing the matter to continue to happen in your life. You are going to have to go listen again to find out all I just said. What you are fretting and worrying about is limiting the heartbeat of God, and it's causing the blood not to flow all the way through. And in fact, it is not the big thing that is the problem, it's these small little things. That's what's causing all the problems. You got to let the blood flow to all of it. Well, this doesn't really matter to God. It's nothing. It's nothing. No, let God flow right through there. Because if blood doesn't flow right through there, that part of your body begins to die. And when it dies, it begins to rot. Hello? There's corruption. And now you are going to be oozing out smells that don't belong. And no amount of perfume is going to solve that problem. You don't try to mask stuff. No, you're stinking. You're still walking around stinking. And depending on where the death is taking place, it might affect your mobility. Are we together? When the blood is not flowing in the right direction, even the area that that is not flowing to becomes bigger. All truth is what? Parallel. What are you struggling with? Is it possible that you are the agent cause of whatever it is that's happening? Because it's not God. God is giving you a new heart. Psalmist says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy what? Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me away. And God won't. He says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, I'll give you a new spirit. David was anointed, but then at a particular time resisted the directives of God. When he was going after Uriah's wife Bathsheba, do you think God wasn't speaking to him? But the incredible thing about God is that God, and don't abuse the grace of God, God brings good out of bad. Let me say it again. God brings good out of bad. Why? Because all God wants you to experience is his goodness. So the guy is messed up.
We don't know the name of the first child that died from Bathsheba. But God decides to redeem, to restore completely. And so who does he pick to become the next king after David? Solomon, who is the son of Bathsheba, the one that he committed adultery with. You think that God will just curse all of that line? No. I want you to forget about your failure. Hello? Are we together? I'm trying to get us to understand this new heart. There's a heart that refuses to accept failure and turns failure to good. Let me give you another example. There's a young man called Jacob. He lies, and he says that his name is Esau. Takes the birthright of his brother, takes off, and he's in the house of Laban. Yes? In the house of Laban, he begins to work. He's working there. He works for 7 years to get a wife. The person that he loved is Rachel. But Laban did a switcheroo on him and hands him Leah, the lazy-eyed one, the one that is not pretty. He says, "What happened here?" Anyway, let's not go into that story too much. Anyway, he finally gets Rachel, working another 7 years to get Rachel. And Rachel is barren, doesn't have children, can't give birth. Are we together so far? But Leah is busy giving babies. Say, where are you going with this? Well, this is where I'm going. There will not be 12 tribes of Israel without the mess up. Would have had 2 tribes. No 12 elders, 2 elders. Are we together? God causes all things to work together for our good. Pastor, didn't you just mess up the whole message by telling us this now? No. I'm saying, maybe you've messed up. You've resisted the will of God. But at the time of the turnaround, everything changes. God will call you to accountability. Jacob, returning back home, is battling with an angel. And he says, "Bless me, bless me, bless me." They wrestled all night. And Jacob is saying, "Bless me." The angel says to him, "What is your name? Because I want to know who it is that I'm blessing. What's your name? Because the last time when you collected the blessing, you said your name was Esau." So what's your name? The question God is asking every one of us is, What's your name? Are you a sinner or are you a saint? What's your name? Are you a pretentious person or somebody that is genuine? Are you here telling me about how you are shaping and formed in iniquity and in sin, or are you asking to be cleansed? What's your name? Well, you made me this way. Nobody made you that way. God did not create sinners. They were naked and not ashamed. But when they refused to continue with what God said and believed what the devil said, then their nakedness became shameful. Are we together? You and I have been picked by God to display His glory, because we are His glory carriers. And He, I don't know, you know, in the world, when you say a free spirit, you're talking about somebody that is all over the place. Yeah? The free spirit. They go this way, they go that way. But in God, a free spirit is that grace that causes you to recognize that you have access everywhere as light, and that you are not limited by your mindset, but you are freed having the mind of Christ, that you can go even into the depths of hell and defeat the forces of darkness there and come out victorious because you've got a free spirit. It's the enemy is coming and has nothing in me. That you and I can boldly say, yeah, I'm in the world, but not of the world. Hallelujah. In the world, but not of the world. I am not enticed by the things of this world. I am not seduced by the things of this world. I am in this world, and it doesn't matter whatever it is that you're doing. It has nothing to do with me, because there is nothing in me that connects with whatever wrong you're doing by. Huh? Praise the Lord. Is somebody listening? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me, how? With thy free spirit. Thy free spirit is the spirit of freedom, where you choose what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And your choice is to always honor God. I'm going to honor God today. Because the Spirit of God is not limited. It's the free Spirit of God. It has access to every area of your life. It has access to your marriage. It has access to your finances. It has access to your mind. It has access to every dealing. God has access. Because where God doesn't have access, life doesn't have access. Wholeness doesn't have access. And what you've got is total corruption, rottenness, stench. That's it. I'll stop here. So much more to say. But we'll stop here and ask this question. You have to be very deliberate, intentional, and sincere. Does that God have access to every area of my life? If not, where doesn't he have access right now? Then you ask the question, am I willing right now to give him access to those areas that I've denied access to? Because that's the break or make it point. I don't care how long you've been a believer. What we're talking about is very rudimental. But there are times we have to go back and check the foundations. Make sure that everything is correct. Who will ascend unto the hill of the Lord? A man with clean hands, pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He, that one, shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord. God is calling us to ascend. Come up higher. Come up higher. Will there be resistance? Absolutely. What the word of God says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, so that the King of the glory may come in. Who is this King of glory challenge? The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Today the Lord wants to have access. And you and I need to stand with him and say, every resistance to the will of God for my life, get out of the way. Get out of the way. I'm going to live for God. I will have a testimony that honors God. And Satan shall not have reign in any sphere, realm, or area of my life. So have you asked those questions? And if you ask those questions and there is an area that you know what? I need to turn it over to God here. Then I want to stand in agreement with you to trust God that his will be perfected in your life, in that area. Amen. Just raise that right hand if you want me to pray with you tonight or this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Children, as you come in quietly. Praise God. Okay, rise with me. Let us pray. Father, the response of your servant David, having asked for a clean heart, having asked for his spirit never to be taken away from him. His continued statement was, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." This is the heartbeat of one who has a new heart. He seeks the well-being of others. And today, Lord, oh God, we come before you and we ask, oh God, that you have full access to every aspect of our lives. And not only are we asking, oh God, that you have full access, we are asking, Father, and Lord, oh God, that you will use our lives to touch others, that change, permanent change, takes place in the lives of your people. We belong to you. And we declare this day, your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Remove from us these hardened hearts and give to us, as we now position ourselves to receive, a new heart. A new heart we receive. So, Lord, O God, that your name is not transgressed and blasphemed amongst the heathen. We ask, O God, that you do for us what no man can. And Lord, O God, that your precious blood penetrate every area of our lives, that there's no part of us that goes into atrophy. No part of us, O God, that is restrictive to the flow of your precious blood. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that as the blood of Jesus flows through our bodies, that with it comes healing, deliverance, redemption, provision, peace, strength, all of the goodness of God. And Lord, O God, that as it comes through every system, and Lord, O God, that it pumps back through the heart again and again and again, because all the portions, all the departments, every area of the heart, the valves, all that is happening in the heart is perfected. Your heart is perfect. Let the perfection of your heart impact every area of our lives. We give you praise, Father, that it is so. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, we will honor God with our giving. Your giving is important because it helps us not only to take care of the things that we need to take care of, but to have a good name in the world. If the church is not able to take care of its bills, it doesn't have a good name in the world. Will you accept that? So, we've got to have a good name. And we do according to the directives of the Lord what we ought to do. Because every house of God has what it needs to do, what it's been assigned to do. It is our obedience in following through with the directives of the Lord that make it possible for us to fulfill every mandate. I want to thank God for every one of you that have faithfully given to support missions. We are embarking on another mission trip, and I want to thank God for those that have dug deep and seen beyond themselves to reach out to a world that needs to be touched by the power and the presence of God. May God honor you for your giving. May God honor you for your support. May God cause you to experience supernatural increase. And may every need in your life be addressed by the very presence and glory of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for honoring God with your giving. At this time, I'm going to call on Mama to come, and we're going to share in communion together. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So let it be according to thy word. Father, we're reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up about 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Lord, today we lift him up, not only in the grace of the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that he gave, but we lift him up in praise, in worship, in adoration, in accepting the finished work. Now let there be a drawing of all men. You said, this day have I begotten in you my son. And you said, as the son now ask for the heathen, for your inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth, for your possession. Today, we do the same. Lord, we take off this body. We declare that we are sons. And we ask for the heathen, for our inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth, for our possessions. For this is your heartbeat. Souls, souls, souls. We take and eat in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
So we take up this cup of blessing this morning. May the Lord draw our neighbors to him.
Amen.
May he draw our family members to him.
Amen.
May he draw our lives to him.
Amen.
May he cleanse us with his precious blood.
Hallelujah.
May he restore us.
Amen.
May he revive us.
Amen.
May he rejuvenate us.
In Jesus' name.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I just want to remind us, May 6th, I forgot at the beginning, what's happening May 6th? Apostle's birthday. So you can say happy birthday to him because he's going to be going on the mission field. So make sure you appreciate God's servant. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, for those that are on Facebook and YouTube and Reddit and other platforms, thank you for participating in the service today. We trust that something that was said today took a hold of your heart and that you are experiencing the transformation that's possible.